Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Rural Lutheran News Digest.
South African Bishop Wilhelm Weber explained that the founder of the Lutheran Church in South Africa, the German missionary Louis Harms, actually set out to establish a mission in Ethiopia rather than in South Africa.
Our forebears wanted to go to Ethiopia. There was still one place amongst the Omoro people. Louis Harms said they are like the Saxons of Africa.
But it wasn't to be. To get to Ethiopia, Harms had to go through Dar es Salaam, an Islamic region hostile to Christians.
But the people from Dar es Salaam stopped him, the Muslims at that time, to go through to Ethiopia. And our people actually returned home.
After the failure to go to Ethiopia, Harms' group stopped at Durban, South Africa, on their way home to Germany. There, they were persuaded to stay.
And then in Durban, there were apostles. A missionary apostle from the Berlin mission, he was quite eager to have them there. He said, there's enough work for all of us. Come stay here in South Africa.
Although Natal, where Harms arrived, was settled by the Dutch, there were many Germans in the area who assimilated with the Dutch population, known as Boers or Afrikaans.
Although Lutheran pastors have been called to South Africa to serve even in the Reformed Church from the very beginning, because they did not have many pastors wanting to serve in Africa, the Dutch people called German pastors. So you've got many German names amongst Afrikaners even today who have totally assimilated as Afrikaners.
Originally known as Hermannsburg Lutherans, they became active in missionary work with the Zulu, the most powerful independent tribe in the region. Although the missionaries were not persecuted by the Zulu, they weren't especially welcome.
And so that's how the Hermannsburg Lutherans, our forebears, came into Zululand. That was the only bit. It was still independent under the big Zulu kings and the descendants of Dingaan, a big mighty own power, which also fought against the British Empire even before the Boer War.
Tensions were high between the Zulu and the British, which eventually broke out into open warfare in 1879. Weber says that the fact that the missionaries were German rather than British was lost on the Zulus.
A very difficult time for missions, because the missionaries, of course, were seen as part of the British side, the white people coming in. Even though these were Germans, but these finer details, you know, did not count for much.
As a result, many missionaries fled the Zulu lands.
And I think the Germans moving in at that time had a very difficult time. When wars started, they would flee. And where would they flee? They would flee to the British zones.
After the war, the missionaries returned to Zulu lands. This time, they met with success in winning converts.
Then had a big revival amongst the Zulu people, a conversion actually first. Today, most of them, you have got big Zulu names like Buthelezi, Lutherans, you know, and that is not Gacha Buthelezi, but Manas Buthelezi, who was even for long terms serving as the head of the Lutheran World Federation.
Lutheranism grew and spread in South Africa, but South Africa is a country of many ethnicities, and this has a bearing on conversion, according to Weber.
We've got a very nationalistic past in the sense of that Lutherans worked quite extensively amongst the Tswana people and the Pedi people, and you had big tribal conversions. So in those areas, you would have nearly more than 80% are Lutherans or whatever. But then we are, it is tribal and nationalistic, meaning also the Afrikaans people are mainly Reformed.
There's also a strong presence of non-Christian religion in the country.
You know, we have a resurgence of traditional religions. I think Islam is very much on the rise as well. Being more missionary active is what I mean. And even Hinduism. We've got the biggest Buddhist temple in the southern hemisphere, 50 kilometers away from Pretoria.
Most disturbing, though, is a rise of secularism and a resurgence of animism.
Just a common resurgence of religiosity, but then also of very strange ways and doings of things. Atheism's on the rise, secularism, blatant materialism.
In fact, Weber says the country's president, Jacob Zuma, is a practitioner of animism.
And now, having a president who worships the ancestors, I think things are much easier to say, well, I think the Amaklosi, the fathers, they are the ones who actually want me to lead the life according to their ways, and not necessarily the triune God.
Weber says understanding cultural differences is important in spreading the good news to the nations.
If a Zulu man talks with his deceased father, it's because he realizes there's more between heaven and earth than meets the eye. And I think we must be careful to just put that off as some kind of contradiction with the first commandment. But I am saying this carefully, but just to say that we can't be too careful in meeting another culture and really on its own terms and not just measuring it by our own standards.
But there is a line that cannot be crossed. Certain practices and beliefs are incompatible with Christianity. Weber notes that the President Zuma's actions crossed that line.
Our president, if he slaughters beasts before the ANC Congress and does that with and expresses his belief that the ancestors will bless the commencement of this convention, the ANC convention in Bloemfontein at that time. There, I think the line has been overstepped.
Weber has much hope for Lutheranism in South Africa. He notes with irony that Harm's initial attempt to spread the gospel message to Ethiopia failed, but is succeeding today in a way Harm's never imagined.
Ethiopians are now coming to South Africa, and we have got students who come all the way on their own to our seminary, and there are supposed to be 25,000 Mekane Jesus Lutherans in Southern Africa who have asked us to provide accommodation for them.
Weber believes this is God's hand at work.
This, for me, is God's wonderful way of working even 150 years after we try to get there. Now we have nearly forgotten about this history, and suddenly they pitch up and they reach us.
Weber says the Missouri Synod has worked closely with the Lutheran Church in South Africa, and he's grateful for that help.
The Missouri Synod has always been very helpful as we address work, mission work, which we can't do on our own.
He singles out the Lutheran Heritage Foundation as being especially helpful.
And the Lutheran Catechism is something which is just priceless. I did not mention it just now, but the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which was brought in, that really helped us very much to bring confessional literature to Africa.
There are challenges, to be sure, but the future is bright for Lutheranism in Africa. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The Lutheran Church is following his command. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.